sectarian hatred. The news is read by Angie Mazzetti.
The European Commission is to decide this morning if it will proceed with a proposal that would force Ireland to pay an extra £100 million a year towards farmers' subsidies. The Department of Agriculture says it's totally opposed to the plan. Our agriculture correspondent, Joe O'Brien.
At present, farmers here get almost £1 billion a year in direct payments from Europe. But moves are now underway to get member countries, including Ireland, to pay more towards the subsidies paid out to their farmers. The government here already contributes 50% towards animal headage payments and 25% to the REPS environmental grants. But Irish taxpayers may have to come up with more than £100 million extra if Europe insists that the Exchequer contributes about a quarter of the remaining £600 million given to farmers in subsidies. The proposal being debated by European commissioners this morning may be well supported, given the new attitude towards farm subsidies by the incoming German government. The Department of Agriculture say they'll now be asking other countries to join in opposing the change. Meanwhile, Farm Minister Joe Walsh is asking Commissioner Fischler to relax intervention cold store rules so that more Irish beef will be eligible.
Speaking on this programme, the IFA President Tom Parlin said the Taoiseach will have to put up a strong case for Irish farmers.
In terms of equity, a small member state like Ireland certainly will lose out very severely because if it is obligatory, all member states will have to put up whatever co-funding. But if it is left up to the discretion of member states, Germany are likely to continue to support their farmers very strongly, whereas the Irish Exchequer may decide not to do so and leave us at a severe disadvantage. So we will be resisting it very, very strongly, and I expect that eventually our Taoiseach Bertie Ahern at head of states meeting will have to bat very, very tough on this.
The government is opposed to Fine Gael private members' bill that would outlaw the practice of gazumping in the housing market. Under the terms of the bill put forward by Deputy Brian Hayes, it would become a criminal offence to raise the price of a house after a deposit has been paid. In the Dáil last night, the Minister of State, with responsibility for housing, Bobby Molloy, described the proposed legislation as flawed. Cathy Milner reports.
The practice of gazumping, or raising the price of a house after a buyer has paid a booking deposit, has been a feature of the current property boom. Putting his bill before the Dáil, the Fine Gael deputy Brian Hayes said it would tackle just one aspect of the current crisis in the housing market. Gazumping would be made a criminal offence, punishable by a fine or imprisonment. Buyers who'd been gazumped would be entitled to compensation, and the vendor would be legally obliged to deliver a written contract to the purchaser within 2 weeks of receiving the deposit. Opposing the bill, the Minister for Housing, Bobby Molloy, said it was fundamentally flawed and would create uncertainties and difficulties in the residential property market. He said the government wouldn't rule out legislation to tackle gazumping, but at the moment didn't consider the practice widespread and would prefer to allow the building industry to adopt its own voluntary code of practice in this regard.
President McAleese, continuing her state visit to Canada, has said Ireland is slowly putting behind it the terrible legacy of sectarian hatred. The president was speaking last night at a dinner in Toronto. From there, Michael Fisher reports.
Toronto is Canada's largest city, big enough to fit in the whole population of the republic. Like many of the centres being visited by President McAleese, it has strong Irish connections from both sides of the border. Familiar place names like Dublin, Strabane and Listowel can be found here. The Lieutenant Governor of the Province of Ontario, who officially represents Queen Elizabeth, is Hilary Weston, a former model from Dublin. Her husband Galen is a well-known businessman who owns the Brown Thomas store. Speaking at a dinner hosted by Mrs. Weston last night, the President praised her as an outstanding example of a new Canadian who, she said, had played a positive role in her new home while maintaining a strong attachment to her native country. The President said Toronto, after a period of sectarian disturbances, was now a place where the two traditions of orange and green, Catholic and Protestant, had learned to live together and to respect one another's differences. She said Ireland today was slowly putting behind it the terrible legacy of a tradition of sectarian hatred which had deeply diminished the country. Michael Fisher, RTE News, Toronto.
The North's First Minister David Trimble and his deputy Seamus Mallon are in New York for the start of a campaign to win fresh American investment and jobs in Northern Ireland. Business leaders in 11 cities are being targeted in a three-week tour organised by the North's Industrial Development Board. Today's opening event will also be attended by the British Chancellor of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown, the Northern Secretary, Mo Mollem, and the United States Commerce Secretary, William Daley. Gardaí are now treating as murder the death of a 23-year-old Scotsman who was found badly injured at a New Age travellers' camp near Manor Hamilton in County Leitrim. The man who's been named locally as Elliot Robertson died in hospital early yesterday. Gardaí say a man is helping them with their inquiries. The American Special Envoy, Richard Holbrooke, is to have further talks in Belgrade today with Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic to try to persuade him to comply with the United Nations demands for an end to the violence in Kosovo. No progress was reported at two earlier meetings between the two men. Mr. Holbrooke visited the province yesterday and said afterwards that Yugoslavia had not yet complied with demands to withdraw its forces. During the day, large numbers of Serbian police were seen leaving the Kosovo region, but more were reported to be digging in for the winter. Now the weather forecast, bright and dry with some good sunny periods. Highest temperatures 14 to 17 degrees. It's 6.5 minutes past nine now, and here's Susan Jackson with another look at what it says in the papers.
The Independent is leading this morning with the headline, taxpayer facing a farm bill of 150 million. Under new plans going before the European Commission today, Irish taxpayers may soon be asked to top up reduced EU farmer grants. And as you heard in the bulletin, RTÉ's agriculture correspondent Joe O'Brien puts the figure at 100 million. But over in the Examiner, it has shrunk even further. Under the headline, EU plan to slash income support will hurt already hard-hit farmers. The paper says direct check in the post payments for Irish farmers, currently worth 900 million, will be cut by at least 50 million. In the Star, we're told that a woman who has plagued singer Christa Berg for years is suffering from a mental illness. The 34-year-old Swiss national is fixated with Mr. de Berg and bombarded him with faxes and phone calls. She was finally arrested in the grounds of the singer's home on Monday night and is now receiving treatment. It's treatment of a different kind that's needed to tackle the international financial crisis. The Times reports on its front page that President Clinton has stepped up the pressure, calling on governments and central bankers to take immediate decisive action. While the IMF is insisting we're not heading for a 1930s-style depression, the paper says Mr. Clinton warned a way must be found to tame the cycles of boom and bust. There's also news from the paper's rugby correspondent, Gerry Thornley, that an Irish international rugby player is believed to have tested positive for a banned substance last season. Staying with sporting matters, the Star says the big names came out to play last night before a packed Brandywell and raised around £50,000 for the victims of the Omagh bombing. The Independent tells us that Minister Dermot O'Hearn had to go to court last night to prevent a sheriff from removing the contents of his department office. The goods were to be taken to complete payment of a sum a legal firm says it's owed for interest on legal costs. These were incurred, says the paper, in a court battle over the state's failure to treat women's social welfare recipients in the same way as men. Elsewhere, The Independent devotes a full page to yesterday's proceedings in the Veronica Guerin murder trial. Other legal action includes the Examiner's report on the High Court clearing the way for field trials of genetically modified vegetables. Claire Watson and Quentin Gargan of Genetic Concern are pictured on the front of the paper, holding a cardboard box to symbolise Mother Nature. The Times reports that the state argued in court yesterday that a false impression had been created by a newspaper article which said an army commandant had received £80,000 for post-traumatic stress disorder. In fact, the soldier got the money for failure to treat the disorder and hearing loss. And it seems a Garda has joined the list of stress disorder court bids. According to The Independent, the special branch detective is seeking compensation for negligence in dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. The incident arose out of the accidental discharge of a weapon. The beef industry is covered by two separate stories in the Times. The first one, dealing with proceedings in the Dáil yesterday, tells us that a row broke out and the sitting of the House was suspended briefly as TDs were told that the 70 million EU fine against the state for breaches of intervention beef regulations in the early 1990s could not be recovered from offending beef producers. And elsewhere, Geraldine Kennedy says that the state is to sue three companies in the Goodman Group for an unspecified sum arising from meat irregularities uncovered during the beef tribunal. Finally, this is the season for theatre critics, and The Independent says that previously unpublished letters written by Samuel Beckett show he felt critics did not understand his work. In 1961, he wrote, "Good, bad or indifferent, they get me down." I'm wondering what possesses these people to be writing about the theatre.
Susan Jackson with the time at 9:10. That's all for Morning Ireland. This morning's editor was Donal Byrne. Until tomorrow at 7:30 from Richard Crowley and from me, David Hanley. Good morning.
Between the ages of 40 and 50, your eyesight may change. You may have problems focusing close up.
There are different solutions. Bifocals, for example, or varifocals, where your different visions are blended. Well, at Specsavers Opticians, we've got the perfect answer. If you buy a pair of Specsavers varifocals and can't get on with them, we'll change the lenses for standard bifocals or guarantee you have two pairs of spectacles to your different prescriptions and refund any price difference. See leaflets in store for details. Specsavers Opticians throughout Ireland. Now you can believe your eyes.
Unexpected pregnancy brings unexpected pressure.
When Joanna had nowhere to turn, I told her about Cherish. Cherish seemed to understand me, you know, not judge me like...
We help you look at all your options by offering free advice in friendly surroundings. Everything is confidential. If you or someone you know has an unexpected pregnancy, phone us on 662-9212.
I know I made the right decision. I just needed support to do it.
Cherish. Support, advice and all your options explained. 662-9212.
Some mobile phones are colourful and compact. Some mobile phones have lots and lots of functions. Only one mobile phone